This is PWTorch.com editor Wade Keller with the Daily Keller Hotline covering the Monday, October 6th edition of WWE Raw. This episode had to recap No Mercy's events, and there was plenty of news on that show, and also immediately shift gears into promoting Cyber Sunday 3 weeks down the line, where you get to choose between three options that you have no interest in or don't care about. In each of the matches. All right. The show opened with Chris Jericho walking out, his face showing wear and tear from his ladder match. And he showed off a chipped tooth near the front of his mouth. And he said every time he looks in the mirror, he'll have to, or he will be reminded of Shawn Michaels and what he did to him in that match. Of course, I think, just personal recommendation, I think Chris Jericho should see a dentist and just have it capped. And then, you know, he won't have to be reminded of it constantly, but maybe he wants to be. I don't know. Or maybe he just needs someone to tell him about dentists. It's kind of like how some wrestlers need to be told that the show they're on is televised and that they can actually look at controversies when they think somebody who was a friend of them beat them up, and they just need someone to say, hey, you can watch it on replay here. Or it's on TV. You can ask someone who actually saw the show. Did this really happen, or was this a misunderstanding? Anyway, as Jericho was talking, Batista's music played, and he walked out and said he won't. He did some weird numbers game. He says, so tell me the number. And Jericho looked at him, as did the fans, going, what the hell are you talking about? He goes, tell me the number. So Jericho literally said, what the hell are you talking about? And Batista was trying to be all witty, and he goes, tell me the number of days you want left as champion. 7, 14, or 2 day? You know, I know Batista is asking for a bigger push, and part of what comes with getting a bigger push and being treated like Steve Austin or The Rock is not being protected on the microphone and not being able to be all dapper and smug and a man of few words with a couple excellent facial expressions, but not really show-filling content, which is one of the criticisms of him. But he's got to be a better editor of his material, because or a better executor of what he's given, because that was just lame. I mean, pick a number. I don't know. It just was. I don't think it worked. He said Jericho may have had one of the most brutal matches in the history of the business. Or Jericho said he did last night, but if they did wrestle, he'd find a way to beat him. And he said that he'll scratch and claw and bite and take whatever it takes to survive, and that he'll be the animal, not Batista. And he said something about Batista being synonymous with failure. Batista just kind of looked at him and grinned the whole time. Batista's good at with facial expressions. I mean, that's been his strength ever since the hints of the breakup of Evolution. Jericho advised him to get out of the ring right now, and Batista just said, hey, whether you like it or not, you're going to defend the title against me. It's just a matter of time. And then out of nowhere, he gave him the spine buster. And that was it. It was fine. I mean, it's set up what needs to be set up, which is Batista challenging Jericho for the title. The chase is on. I think they should build Raw around Jericho versus Batista for quite a while, I would say, through the Royal Rumble. I think Batista's a strong enough star. He's your healthy centerpiece. Cena's not going to be back long before that. Randy Orton doesn't really fit into that picture right now. I'm not quite sure what direction they're going with him. I would stick with Batista Jericho, make it a chase, have it be an obsession, and have Jericho find ways to win, and at times even be a little more impressive than I think fans wanted. And then if you want, you can have Jericho keep the title and have Cena chase it, or you can have Batista keep the title or win the title, and then when Cena comes back, you build to the SummerSlam rematch, Cena-Batista. There's a couple directions they can go there, but I do think Jericho can bring out the best in Batista's mic work, but this wasn't a strong start for Batista, but I think it's something to stick with. They went to the opening match, I should note, if you didn't know this, that Chris Jericho announced that Mike Adamley had put him in charge of the show, and that was kind of the centerpiece of the beginning of his promo, besides talking about the Michaels match. Mike Adamley had an important meeting with Shane and Stephanie and Stanford, couldn't be there, or so they said, and so he put Jericho totally in charge, which is ludicrous and ridiculous, but the good thing with Mike Adamley being put in charge of Raw as GM is when they do ridiculous, nonsensical things, you can just blame it on Adamley. Now, that can only go so far, because Adamley obviously answers to Shane and Stephanie and perhaps Vince, if he's still alive, if he still, you know, we don't know how he's doing. They don't tell us. They don't really update us on a lot of things, including, you know, how Vince is doing. But he answers to people. So if he keeps making horrible decisions, at some point, it rubs off and makes Shane just look like a complete idiot for letting Adam Lee continue to control Raw and drive it into the ground. Problem with Raw is they've established that GM's goal, the goal of the GM is to make Raw interesting to draw ratings, which is a horrible premise for a wrestling promotion. The premise of a wrestling promotion should be to have a GM authority figure who creates a sense of law and order so that the best wrestler can win the world title and be the best at what he does. Wrestling, ultimately, you can have a lot of stuff on the side, you can have personal feuds and grudges, you can have even comedy, of course, but ultimately everything needs to revolve around the goal of every wrestler to win a world title, the tag team titles, or a secondary title as they aspire to move into the world title range or win the IC title or US title as a way to at least hold the title even if they're no longer as good as they once were. Whatever it is, it has to be a personal story of trying to win matches and be the best. That means the GM should be there to facilitate that happening. And once you establish that firm foundation, then when you break from that, it means something. But when you have a GM making ridiculous, absurd, nonsense decisions like putting a heel world champion in charge of deciding the fate in the matchmaking on a show without explanation, without reason, it destroys the foundation of things. And then you can't get mad when something happens that doesn't make sense because nothing makes sense. And it's like shuffling the pages on a book and reading it. You don't get upset when a book doesn't make sense if the pages and words are scrambled. But when there's one page out of place or a couple paragraphs switched around, that throws you off. And you want to have that tool in your toolbox. You want to be able to scramble things and shake things up. But if things are constantly shaken up, nothing ever makes sense. And then you can't really shake the foundation by doing something crazy because the show never had any sense of logic to begin with. So I am against having Adam Lee put Jericho in charge. But if the goal is to prove Adam Lee is incompetent and learning, and they actually follow up on that and do their job as responsible storytellers, then it's fine. But you have to go that direction, and I just don't have faith with WWE with their erratic storytelling methods week to week that they've actually got a larger big picture direction in mind. But we'll see. Anyway, after the first commercial break, they come back, and Jericho said he has matched Shawn Michaels against Lance Cade in an ODQ match, and Lawler said that was totally unfair because Michaels is so beat up from the ladder match. And also, Jericho ordered Batista, because he spinebustered him, he ordered Batista to put his number one contendership on the line against JBL in a rematch once again tonight, and he said, I, Chris Jericho, will be special referee. So the stage is set for the show now. Then Jamie Noble and Mickie James took on Santino Marella and Glamazon Beth Phoenix. This is another thing that bugged me about the show. It was 1 minute. I mean, it's ridiculously short. This isn't a squash match. It's not a Batista versus, you know, a jobber. This should be a competitive match. I mean, Jamie Noble and Santino are kind of pushed as somewhat equal wrestlers. Same with Mickie James and Beth Phoenix. You just shouldn't have matches this short. You're trying to sell people on matches like this when they sell pay-per-views. And if you have all the matches on TV be 1 or 2 minutes, and then how can you possibly tell people to buy it on pay-per-view? It's again one of those things that just doesn't really make sense. And I've grown to be okay with a 3 or 4 minute match, but I mean 1 minute now and then makes sense. But then it has to be a really big deal. The announcers have to go, I cannot believe Marella and Phoenix managed to defeat a formidable tag team of Noble and Mickie James in just 1 minute. It has to be a big deal, so it means something. If you just treat it as, I kind of half expected this was going to end in a minute, again, it undercuts the whole foundation of the show, which is people having competitive wrestling matches where it takes a while to actually beat somebody. Santino rolled up Jamie from behind when he was distracted by Beth Phoenix, so that was a finish. Jamie chased Marella into the crowd. William Regal was out there sitting on a throne with Layla by his side and ended up getting into a brawl. This was an awkward moment because Regal and Noble have a brawl. A single referee separated them. A single referee held Regal back as he tried to get at Noble, who took a few steps backwards, and Mickie James stood with him. How was one referee going to hold a determined William Regal back? It was just ridiculous. And I think even the director realized, Kevin Dunn realized that, because they didn't go to the shot of Regal afterwards, but they hung with the shot way too long of Jamie Noble just standing there, because in your mind you thought something was going to happen, and it didn't. And in your mind, you still had this picture of a single skinny referee somehow holding back the vicious William Regal from getting at Jamie Noble as Jamie Noble stood there awkwardly long with Mickey James, which is kind of a poorly executed and poorly filmed and directed segment. Todd Grisham interviewed Shawn Michaels backstage. Michaels was in his, "I'm very serious and I'm having deep thoughts and I'm a little unstable based on what happened and I'm very intense and still feeling the effects of Jericho accidentally hitting my wife because I let her in the ring." And I guess it was more, he didn't show remorse. I guess it kind of corrected that ship, so I should lay off that, but it was still stupid the way they did it originally. Anyway, Michaels ended up said that he's on the brink of insanity and hopped up on adrenaline, and he's going to show Jericho, Kate, and everyone else. All right, that concludes the 5-minute free clip of today's VIP audio show. If you're interested in having access to the complete audio shows that run between 10 minutes up to sometimes an hour, hour 15 minutes each, just click on the VIP sign-up info button in the upper left corner of the screen at pwtorch.com on any page, right under our logo. And you can get more details on all the features you get with a VIP membership, including around 50 VIP exclusive audio shows per month start to finish, along with a lot more ad-free access to the site, the PW Torch Today PDF bulletins that come out most days that I write with the breaking news and analysis, and so much more. Hundreds of back issues from the Torch newsletter, both in text and PDF format now, and a lot more. Just check out the whole list of VIP features. It costs $7.50 per month to become a member. It is cheaper if you subscribe for longer term. And we also have an availability of paper copy subscriptions to the Torch newsletter where you can have it delivered to your doorstep all 16 pages every week with news, analysis, exclusive columns, interviews, and more. And with a newsletter subscription, it's about 75 cents more per week to get the newsletter delivered to your home, but you get all the other online VIP benefits along with that. So basically, it's just cost of postage and printing we pass along to you. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to us either way which option you choose. But if you'd like to get that 16-page paper copy delivered to your door, you might want to check out that option. Otherwise, you can go with the ESUB option, and I hope you'll maybe give us a try for 1 month and see what it's like to have access to the complete VIP audio shows every single day. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, on behalf of the entire Torch staff, I thank you for listening, and I sign off.